Good morning. The Bible reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 14. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God.
Thanks, honey. If you're new, sorry, that's my wife. If you'd like to keep your Bibles open there to page 916, because we're going to look at the context around that as well. Make sure that we don't pull things out of context. Page 916 in your Bibles. You'll likewise find there's an outline you can follow along that'll match what's going on the screens. As we consider this together, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word and your great goodness to us in declaring to us what we ought to know, what we need to know, what is so helpful for us to know. And would you give us minds now to hear, to receive, hearts to understand, a will to delight and act upon these good things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I reckon freedom has got to be one of the most exciting and motivating ideas that we know. Freedom, it's just one of those things that we don't take for granted because it's not everywhere. And we love freedom. We love the idea of freedom. We'll protest for freedom. We'll march for freedom. And bizarrely, we'll fight and even kill for freedom, even when freedom for one will come at the cost of freedom for another. But still, we love it so much that we'll do it, and we'll do it because our desire for freedom, well, it's freedom from the things that oppress us, the things that bind us, from the things that restrict us. There's all kinds of things that we feel we need freedom from or for or to. And for the good people of Wollongong, there's a whole bunch, it seems, who reckon financial freedom is the most important freedom to pursue. And a subset of them, I presume it's a subset of them, have decided that the fastest way to achieve that is through the pokies at our local clubs. Put your money in, touch a button, and roughly 10 seconds later, financial freedom could be yours. Could be yours. Might be yours. Maybe. But the opposite is, so far, the most likely outcome, for the weight of evidence tells us a story, a long and deep story, a long tale of deep financial slavery that comes from this. The numbers are published on this. This is not opinion, this is just the information that gets published. And so we now know that in the last 3 months of 2024, the residents of Wollongong, just Wollongong, together lost $73 million just on the pokies. Just on the pokies. And in the first 3 months of 2025, combine our Wollongong pokey losses with the rest of New South Wales, it's a total of $2.17 billion lost to the pokies January to March, the first three months of this year. Now, it's a free country, and we Aussies are free to enslave ourselves any way we choose. We are absolutely free to do this. But I do wonder, for those who are addicted to the idea of financial freedom, are they really free to choose otherwise? To choose a different path? Or are they enslaved to make the same set of choices repeatedly? The talk of the experts on helping this particular subset of people, it's all about restricting access. Let's restrict access, break the cycle of harm. And while that sounds admirable as a good starting point of care, hindering access is still a very, very long way from possessing the freedom and power to choose a different path for ourselves, isn't it? Because that's what we really need. That's what we really needed. freedom from slavery in the first place, when you have freedom from slavery in the first place, and then power to choose freedom again and again and again. Now, maybe that kind of freedom sounds like a pipe dream. Maybe it's aiming too high, asking too much. However, that is precisely the kind of freedom that we read of here in Romans chapter 8 about a group of people who do live here in Wollongong and also who are spread throughout our world at this time, people who have been set free and have been empowered and possess empowered freedom of choice in every single moment of every single day. According to the Bible, these free people are those in Christ, and they're free because they have the Spirit of Christ living in them. They have the Spirit living in them, setting them apart as the children of God. Not only are they not under condemnation anymore, as we saw back in chapter 8, verse 1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even more than that, they're free to choose because of the Holy Spirit living in them. And this is the marvelous declaration of this chapter of Romans that we've been studying together bit by bit because of the incredible things that are here. That while those outside of Christ are enslaved to their present desires, are enslaved to their past history, are enslaved to their dreams of the future. Meanwhile, whatever their circumstances, those in Christ Jesus are free to live in God's world as his precious children, holy and dearly loved. If you're here today and that second group doesn't describe you, you realize actually it's possibly the first group, please don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, don't lose hope, because you're here today amongst a whole bunch of people who've moved from there to here, who this freedom, it does describe them. People who've given their lives to Jesus to follow him and have already received that gift of freedom that he gives. So I urge you to listen closely that you might hear what is ahead for you if you also decide to give your life to Jesus, to trust in him and give yourself to him. It's the freedom of the children of God, and it could be yours as well. However, you do need to know, it is definitely not the complete autonomy freedom that people of our world lust after. It's not that. This freedom is nuanced. It's not complete autonomy freedom, as if we're God. Rather, we're his children. And so the way this passage describes it for us, freedom in Christ is freedom to choose against desires that enslave us, freedom to live according to the Spirit. So freedom in Christ, what is this freedom? It's freedom to choose against the desires that enslave us and freedom to live according to the Spirit. It's a wonderful freedom. It's an astonishing freedom. And yet it's also the kind of freedom that makes us sweat, that puts us to work in personal exertion. It's a freedom that requires something from us internally each day because we are the children of God. So check it out again, verses 12 to 14, our passage for today. In your Bibles there in front of you, if you're at home, on the screen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So there's an action for us here. So alongside this great privilege, there's an obligation here, an obligation and an action. And we need to understand what that is and how it works. And so that's what we're going to be examining. Now, let's make sure we understand the obligation and the action. The first there, the obligation. So the children of God have an obligation. Why do we have an obligation? Well, because of the word therefore at the start of the sentence. And whenever in the Bible we see the word therefore, we should always ask, what's the therefore, therefore? Okay, what's it referring to? Because this is clearly the conclusion of something. Look for that. And because you and I together looked so closely as we did at verses 9 to 11 last week here in church, we already know that the word therefore of verse 12, it's a direct follow-on from what was declared just before this. That because those in Christ have the Spirit of God living in us, giving life to our bodies now and giving eternal life to us later, because of that, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation to live according to that Spirit, to the Spirit, and not according to the flesh. And notice it's a we, brothers and sisters, it's a we have this obligation. It's not a you singular individual moment as if it's all your or my responsibility, all on our own. No, it's a we plural, we, us together, brothers and sisters in Christ. You encouraging me, me encouraging you. And yes, your relationship with God is private, it is personal, it is yours and yours entirely. But we grow in Christ together, as together, as his children, because we have the same personal obligation. Therefore, we can understand what each other is battling with, what each other needs to do. We can understand how that works because the obligations are the same for us all. And yet that word obligation still makes us feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? An obligation, what is that? An obligation is a duty we must do. It's a requirement to fulfill. It's a debt that we owe. And in contrast to the word freedom, obligation sounds a little bit like slavery, doesn't it? But let's not let this trip us over. Let's not let it trip us over, because in our passage, what we've got here is, effectively, it's highlighting the contrasting freedom of choice that we have and that we've got an obligation to choose one of those over the other. That's how it's working here. A contrasting freedom of choice that's possible only for those who are in Christ each day. So just to make that clear, earlier in the chapter, you'll remember that we learned that all outside of Christ don't have freedom to choose. They actually don't possess it, not the power nor the action. Hostile to God, it was described. They cannot submit to him or please him, even if they want to. That's the tragic circumstance of a person outside of Christ. And in contrast to that, those in Christ have constant freedom to choose either way. Either, yes, to live according to the flesh. We still have that freedom to choose and power to do that, or to choose to live according to the Spirit. We actually can choose either one. And as we saw last week, it's possible to choose the Spirit because it's the Spirit in us who makes the difference. It's he who enables us to choose the Spirit over the flesh. As the Spirit gives spiritual life to our bodies and guarantees our life to come, that's that pie in the sky when we die, it's steak on our plate while we wait, we get both things. And that's just because that's how good he is to us. And whenever someone's good to you, there is an obligation that comes out of that, isn't it? There's at least an obligation to say thank you. There's an obligation to walk in line with that that goodness that's been shown us. Well, that's how obligation's working here. His goodness to us is why we're obliged to him to be, as it says there, verse 14, to be led by him. So it's an obligation, absolutely it's an obligation, but it's an obligation to life that underlines what it is to have an identity, as we do, as the children of God. Now, very soon, a couple of weeks, the French family is going to head back to Spain to continue their mission work there. And meanwhile, as they head back, another family has just completed now 20 years of mission service in the north of Spain, a city called Gijón. Karen and I visited them with our children back on the field in 2011. And we found with them that each day, walking their three boys to school, they would talk and pray about the day ahead with them, much like most of us will. We're Christian parents. We talk about this. We pray with our kids as we take them to school. And just before they entered the school, they'd stop. They would get down to their eye level. They did that. They got there at full attention, and every day they would ask the same question. They would ask, who do you belong to? So they'd ask them, who do you belong to? And everything stopped until the boys gave their answer. With a bit of an eye roll thrown in, they would say together, We belong to Jesus and we belong to you. They got older.
We belong to Jesus and we belong to you.
Same answer. Now, whether they appreciated it or not, they just declared the most important thing about themselves that grounded and guided their behavior throughout each day. The most significant thing about them. So unlike the non-Christians all delivering their kids to school, their highest goal wasn't going there to make friends. It wasn't there to have as much fun as possible. Not even the highest goal wasn't to learn as much as they could. No, for these kids, it was a different goal altogether. And they didn't presume to have autonomy over all their actions and activity by themselves. No, that's all non-Christian stuff. And these people were raising their kids to know and love Jesus and to walk his way. So their parents made sure that they knew that they were children of their Heavenly Father and that they knew they're children of the Sparks family so that the actions they choose will match. The actions they choose will match the privilege of who they belong to. And it's remembering the privilege of who we belong to that then empowers those next set. Now, none of us are members of the Sparks family, but for those of us in Christ, well, alongside those boys, we do have exact same obligation in the actions that we choose each day are obligated to match the privilege of being Spirit-filled children of God. And so alongside them, the same thing applies. And this obligation, it makes things so much simpler for us as those in Christ. It makes things so much simpler as to what am I going to choose today? Because we're free to choose either way, yes, but knowing our obligation of who we belong to, well, that makes it clear that we ought to be choosing and living according to being led by the Spirit. It's all quite simple. It's simple in terms of the motivation, but then it gets a little bit complicated, doesn't it? The moment we start to wonder, what actions then actually match our privilege? What actions match the privilege? What choices match being children of God? What actions are according to the Spirit? Now we start to, you know, look at each other with question marks on our faces and we're not quite sure. But the really good news is God's very kind to us and he wrote it down for us so that we would know. So that we don't actually have to go hunting for the answer. No, we find in this passage. And it's the precise same action for every single one of us. Laid out clearly here for us. So that regardless of our age or stage or condition, regardless of where we live or how we live, there's an action that's identical for all the children of God that we're all supposed to be about at any given moment. It's there in our passage. You've got it in front of you, verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That's the action. That's the one for us all. Our action is to be killers. Our action is to be haters. Our action is to be murderers of our personal sin. Our action is to be killers, to be haters, to be murderers of our personal sin. Thanks, Keely. Keely, next screen, please, mate. Oh, I think you got it. God doesn't want us just not to sin. He doesn't want us to just not sin. That's not bad. But actually, he wants us to kill our sin before our sin kills us. For those in Christ Jesus, before he returns, these bodies are actually a literal war zone. And there's a very clear difference to the outcome, depending on which side we might choose on any given day. Verse 13, it's crystal clear. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. It will kill you. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And it's a battle. It's a war zone. And in every given moment, those in Christ are free to choose sides. We're not enslaved to only choose one. No, we are free to choose sides. Flesh or spirit, death or life, We're totally free to choose. But because we are children of God, we are in Christ, there's a clear obligation within that to live by the Spirit as children of God. And please remember as we think about this, that we are talking about our own sin here. We're talking about ourselves. This is not about anyone else and their sin. It's not about the sins of others. It's about us personally. So encourage me, exhort me, rebuke me, please, as you see I'm blind to my sin and I need to be made aware of it. Let me know so I can go to war on my sin. But please don't declare war on me and my sin. Just as I should never declare war on you and your sin. Now that's your battle, personally, as mine is my battle, personally. We declare war on our own sin. Inside ourselves is where that battle is supposed to be fought. Supposed to be. And battles are serious business, aren't they? It's serious business. So let's not muck around with our sin. Let's not muck around with it. Let's not play with it. Let's not endure it. Or try and control it. Let's not avoid it or pretend it isn't there. No, no. We must set our sights on it and attack it. Not just call it out, but put it to death. Cut it off, says Jesus elsewhere. Gouge it out, he says elsewhere. Throw it away. I personally found it very helpful to think about my sin in the same way that I think about getting bodily mess all over my hands. It's a gross image. Sit with it for a moment. Imagine by some unfortunate stroke of trouble that today you accidentally get pee, poop, vomit, snot, spit or blood on your hands from your body. Oh joy. What do we do with it? Kind of obvious, isn't it? We wash it away. We push it away. We wipe it away. We get rid of it as fast as we possibly can, don't we? Flush it, move it, shift it again and again and again and again whenever it comes back, whenever it returns, whenever it happens. We get rid of germs like that because we know they mean death to us if we play with them. As it is with our bodily waste, so it should also be with our sinful character traits, our sinful behaviors and ways of thinking, because they are misdeeds of the body that lead to death. And as children of God set free and empowered to live differently, let's not indulge our personal sins. Rather, let's put them to death. Let's put them to death whenever they raise their ugly heads. And I don't know about you, but as a child of God, I don't feel oppressed by that. I don't feel enslaved by an obligation to get rid of things that will kill me. And that's actually quite life-giving. I was quite pleased to be taught how to wash my hands. And sanitizer, yay. Those are good things. They're life-giving things. Choosing life, not death, is a good choice. So count me in for putting to death the misdeeds of my body that will kill me. And now there's this new category, these misdeeds, I can put them to death by the Spirit. So it's motivating and it's quite exciting that it's even possible, isn't it? And it is, and it remains that. But then, of course, we start to pause to wonder, how does it work? How does this by the Spirit action work? How do we actually do that? Well, we've got the privilege of living near the water, more water falling on us than playing it at the moment, of course. But we get the privilege of living next to the ocean as we do. So maybe this boating example will help to crystallize this for us. I know it helps me. So in boating terms, some people talk about killing our sin like we're in a rowboat where all the effort is upon us with our Armstrong twin. There we are. Propulsion and action all comes from the person doing the rowing. And if we're not rowing, then of course the boat starts drifting by itself. So get rowing, people, or you'll be dashed on the rocks of your sin. Stroke, stroke, stroke. Don't pause. Keep going. And at the other extreme, you'll hear some people talk about killing our sin like we're on a powerboat, on a bit of a leisure cruise where we sit there as a passenger and we enjoy the view while the Holy Spirit does all the work. Just let go and let God. Smile and wave goodbye to your sin, people. Just smile and wave. The Holy Spirit takes it away. But when we look at the Bible here in our passage, both of those descriptions are completely and entirely wrong, aren't they? This is why we need our Bibles open. See, rather than a rowboat where we do everything or a powerboat where we do nothing, the children of God are to be alert and active like on a sailing boat, where the Spirit is the wind that empowers us to move and we are active in catching that wind by how we manipulate the sails and by the way we position ourselves on the boat to make the most of what the Spirit supplies. Because we can position ourselves badly and we can do the sails badly, we can also do them well. We're not the engine and we're not the passengers, we're proactive sail hands. And that's good news for our freedom, isn't it? It's good news for our freedom. So because of the Spirit, it means we have agency in this. We can make a difference by what we do and how we do it. We're not disempowered, we're empowered. It's not all up to us, nor will it happen without us. No, we're actively working with the Spirit to live out our freedom and lovingly fulfill our obligation. And it's possible. It's possible to start, it's possible to get started, and it's possible to grow in our ability in that, just like a sailor will get more and more expert in their craft, keeping on doing it as we incline our hearts towards the Spirit and move ourselves to keep in step with Him. And unlike sailors, of course, we don't look to the weather charts and we don't look at the barometer or the conditions to work out what the Spirit's doing. No, no, no. The children of God become experts on how the Spirit moves by studying the place where He wrote it down and laid it out so we could find it, which, of course, is our Bibles. That's precisely what He's done. He makes it so easy for us to become an expert on Him and how He moves and what He does, because He reveals how He works in the Bible. Chapters like this one, chapter 8 of Romans, displays the amazing power of the Spirit in growing our assurance and anchoring our identity, an incredible work that He does. Elsewhere we find the Scriptures go into very clear detail about how by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, how we make that choice, what we're choosing for and against, how we do that. Some of you may be aware, you might have come across this, that fruit of the Spirit passage that's recorded for us in chapter 5 of Galatians. So in Romans, we move on from Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then we go into, Galatians. And there in chapter 5, we find this astonishing passage where it tells us the difference between the work of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. And so the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. My wife Karen can tell you that gentleness has never been the spirit of Michael. But here's the thing. By the Spirit, over time, and repeated exertion with the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, it's becoming a little bit easier for me to be gentle, as by the Spirit I put to death the anger and the fits of rage and choose gentleness with the Spirit instead. And here's the thing, none of us possess the self-control necessary to put to death the misdeeds of the body by ourselves, to resist sin. No, we get self-control from the Spirit. As we incline our hearts to Him and as we ask Him to work in us. as we incline our hearts to him and ask him to work in us to put to death the misdeeds of the body in that moment. And it's in this way that God's children are sailors who by the Spirit make our way against the misdeeds of the body that would otherwise drag us to death. And that's good news, isn't it? To know what to do and be given instruction how to do it. To know that we have the freedom to choose and we have an empowered obligation to choose well. All those things are good, but it still doesn't mean it's easy, does it? Sailing isn't easy. We need to stay alert. We need to be proactive and setting our minds on what the Spirit desires. Because until Jesus' return, our flesh is going to continue to battle and fight and war against the Spirit. And we're going to make mistakes in the storms. When the conditions around us are just so confusing, we will make mistakes. And it won't always be comfortable. But unlike those who are enslaved to repeat their mistakes again and again, over and over until death, if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Are the children of God. So we need to be encouraging one another in this and to be doing this, as gathering, growing in Christ together, growing in this. And so let's have a shot at putting that into action right now. As the children of God, I want to invite you to keep in step with the Spirit with me. In a moment, we're going to do a confession prayer. We're going to confess our sins to God. Be assured of his forgiveness, and then we'll celebrate how he works in us as we come to our final song. But let's first have a quiet moment. A quiet moment. You know what your sin is. You know what misdeeds of the body you need the Spirit's help with to bring before him. So I'm going to give you a moment to do that, to pray and confess, and I'll invite you to say the prayer with me that'll be on the screen. These things before you in humility, in honesty, in our weakness. And we trust you, so we pray together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and broken your laws. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you more and more. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we know that we are forgiven by the Lord, because we read in Romans 8 verses 1 and 2, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the great joy of the gospel, the great privilege of what God's given us. So let's now celebrate that together. The band's coming forward to lead us as we sing our final song, God With Us. Will you join us?
have come.